The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hello, Barracuda fans. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. This is our 2025-26 season preview show. The start of the 72-game regular season slate right on the horizon. The Barracuda will kick things off at home at TechCU Arena on Saturday, October the 11th. That is a 3 o'clock puck drop. And we would like to remind fans throughout the year, you can listen to our broadcast at sjbarracuda.com/listen. You can watch on AHL TV on Flow Hockey. And we didn't do it during the preseason, as is the norm. We had no pregame show. We will resume our 30-minute pregame show starting on Saturday for opening night. Well, as is tradition and is very, very much the norm in the AHL, a lot of players sign one-year deals. Very rarely do you see a multi-year deal for a player not on an entry-level contract. So what that does is every year you've got tons of roster turnover, and that's exactly what we will see with this Barracuda team. There are some familiar faces back with the group, and we'll dive into who is returning, some of the big names that we're looking out for. We'll also dive into the big named prospects that will be joining the Barracuda this season, some of the veteran additions, and then some of the departures as well, some of those bigger names that really helped the Barracuda get over the hump, get into the playoffs last year, have an 81-point regular season, and a lethal power play, and just an overall dominant offensive team. Some of those big pieces, they have departed. But what that means is opportunities for some of these big-name prospects we've been keeping our eye on over the last couple of years. By the Barracuda getting into the playoffs last year, they snapped a pretty lengthy skid. They had not been in the Calder Cup playoffs since 2019, and they had not won a playoff series since 2017. So they got over the hump. Now this year, it's about building on it and trying to go even farther in the postseason. Let's talk about some of the graduates for the Barracuda, some of the big names that helped the group last year be as successful as it was. And we can start at the goalie position. It was completely planned when Mike Greer acquired Yaroslav Askarov from the Nashville Predators last summer that he was likely going to spend the year in the AHL. An injury to Vitek Vanecek, kind of a fluky deal where a puck hit him in the face while he was sitting on the bench, thrust Askarov into the NHL for a couple of months, but ultimately finished with the Barracuda and was very, very good in the Calder Cup playoffs. He graduates. He's now part of a two-headed goalie tandem with Alex Nedeljkovic, who really cut his teeth in the American Hockey League, won a Calder Cup with the Charlotte Checkers several years ago. So Askarov has since moved on. Another name that was with the Barracuda, kind of split the year, Colin Graf, undrafted free agent from a couple of seasons ago, really impressed as a rookie last year and was equally as impressive in the Calder Cup playoffs. He makes the Sharks out of camp, not an overly big surprise, but his versatility, his hockey IQ, I think allowed for him to make that team despite being a player that would be waiver exempt if the Sharks had elected to send him back to the AHL. And Shakir Mukhamudulin, another guy who split the year last year, and this year, expecting him to be a full-time NHL player. He starts in the NHL, and I would assume that is where he will stay. Last year finished really, really strong, proved he was an NHL defenseman, but then unfortunately his season was cut short right at the end as he suffered a shoulder injury in a game in Anaheim against the Anaheim Ducks. So those are the guys that have departed via graduation. Let's dive into some of the players that have departed, whether trade or, in the case of Andrew Podorolski, contract termination. Podorolski was originally signed by the Sharks to a two-year deal, spent last year predominantly with the Barracuda and you want to say predominantly or dominatingly, he dominated the AHL last year. 73 points, led the AHL in scoring, and was the AHL's MVP. Played a handful of games, three total with the Sharks, and he elects to go overseas, go over to Russia, get a bit of a bigger payday. But with doing that, he kind of gives up a little bit on his NHL dream. 31 years of age now. So Paul Dorulski and the Sharks decide to part ways. Very amicable. But Paul Dorulski now over in the KHL. So you lose the AHL's MVP. Another big name that has departed the Barracuda, their captain from last year and Paul Dorulski's teammate in Coachella Valley, Jimmy Schultz. So solid in the room last year, equally as solid on the ice, was the team's captain. But he signs a two-year NHL deal with the Vancouver Canucks. So he gets some stability, but leaves the organization after just 1 year. Daniil Gushchin, 28 goals last year for Gushchin, 14 of those on the power play. He gets traded to Colorado this summer for forward Oscar Olausen, a former first-round pick of the Avalanche. And for Gushchin, the writing a little bit on the wall that it was maybe time for both the Sharks and Gushchin to go their separate ways. And ultimately, the deal is made, and Gushchin now finds himself in the Avalanche's organization. Same thing for Thomas Bortolo. Once a big prospect for the Sharks, it just felt like the end of the road had come for both Bortolo and Gushchin. Give them a fresh start. And in the deal, Bortolo to New Jersey, the Sharks get Shane Bowers, another former first-round draft pick. Bowers now 26, has been mostly in the AHL, but he's a first-style kind of Swiss Army knife type forward that I think will really help the Barracuda this year. And another big departing name via free agency, Scott Sabourin, who was as tough as they come during his time with the Cuda, 192 penalty minutes 2 years ago. That was a single-season franchise record. He departs, signs a one-year two-way contract with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's dive into notable returnees. Luca Cagnoni, what an outstanding rookie season last year as a 20-year-old defenseman. He was part of the all-rookie team, 52 points in 64 games. He led all skaters in power play points with 34, ranked second in power play assists. He had 23 of them, and he tied for fourth in power play goals, had 11. Among defensemen, he ranked third in both points and goals. He had 16 of them total and tied for fifth in assists with 36 among rear guards. And as we noted, he was named to the AHL all-rookie team, six games up top with the Sharks. Would not be surprised if Cagnoni gets a longer runway this year in the NHL. Filip Bystedt, first-round draft pick of the Sharks back in 2022. Big year for him, his sophomore season in North America. He'll rise up the lineup. I would imagine he's going to be in that first or second-line center role. Can he start to push for NHL opportunities this year? He was very good in the Calder Cup playoffs for the Barracuda. Ethan Cardwell, great camp for the Sharks. He's back in the AHL. Had a hat trick, of course, in the preseason in Vegas. Where can he take his game in year number three? I think long-term in the NHL, you can visualize him in that middle six to bottom six role. So can he continue to add more tools to his toolkit as he ripens in the AHL looking for that NHL opportunity? Patrick Giles really opened some eyes last year coming over from Florida's organization in a trade that sent Vitek Vanacek back the other way. He played in 8 games with the Sharks, notched his first NHL goal, and he played in 8 games with the Barracuda. He had 4 goals during that stretch. He's big, versatile. He can take face-off draws. He can kill penalties. And if his offense can continue to evolve, Patrick Giles, I think, is really going to push for a fourth-line role with the Sharks if he's able to put a good season together with the Barracuda. Back with the Cuda, Pavel Regenda, another camp darling, outstanding, playing alongside Ethan Cardwell. At one point, Ryan Warsofsky said he was the best player in camp, but he finds himself back in the AHL. It's a numbers game, no space, no opportunity up there, but if he continues to play the way he did in the preseason and in Sharks camp, I think he'll get his first taste in the NHL with the Sharks. Did play some games with Anaheim before being acquired last year in January for forward Justin Bailey. Also back with the Cuda veteran forward Colin White. White was injured in the playoffs last year, but before he got banged up, he was probably the Barracuda's best player on the ice. Had 6 points, 5 helpers, a +3 rating in the postseason before he got banged up and missed the final game or so of the playoffs. Gabe Carrier, goaltender back in the AHL with the Cuda. An impressive rookie season last year, played in Wichita, got a chance in the AHL, ran with it, signed an NHL deal in March on the 7th of March, backed it up with a 35-save performance, a shutout, first shutout of his AHL career. What a day that was for him. He's back, And we'll see if he can try to take hold of an interesting goalie battle in the AHL with Jakub Skarik, who the Sharks signed as a free agent, who had started his career with the New York Islanders. Also in that mix, Matt Davis. And other guys back for the Coot, Anthony Vincent, Donovan Hole, Lucas Van Roboys, role players, depth guys who really, I thought, were just the backbone and heart and soul of the Barracuda last year. And all three of those guys are back. Some prospects to watch for the Barracuda. Quentin Musty, first-round draft pick from 2023, 26th overall. Really impressive during Sharks camp. Pushed for an NHL opportunity. Not there yet, but we'll see how he can start in the AHL and try to start knocking at the door to get some NHL games. Cam Lund finished last year with the Sharks, got his first taste in the NHL, made his NHL debut on March the 27th against Toronto. Had a very good rookie camp, development camp, training camp. He's big, he can skate, 34th overall pick back in 22, so basically a late first rounder. He's got all the tools. We'll see if he can start pushing as well. He's in that kind of Graf mold, although I think there's some physical tools that Lund has that Graf does not. Simply just the size and skating ability, and he's got one of the better shots, just Lund, in the organization. Casper Holten, and you want to talk about big shots, he's got just an absolute bomb. 36th overall pick in 23, won a Memorial Cup last year with the London Knights. He will be with the Barracuda, scored 2 goals in his AHL debut last year, played in 6 games with the Cuda before he was sent back to junior. Excited to see what Casper Holten can do and how he can evolve his game beyond just being a power play specialist. Igor Chernyshov, second round pick from 2024, first pick of the second round in that draft class. He's big. He's got skill. He's got, I think, a little bit of grit that he can add to his game just with that overall frame. But man, oh my, did he light up the OHL last year. 55 points for Chernyshov with the Saginaw Spirit in just 23 games. He was a line mate of Michael Misa. Excited to see what he can do this year. Again, has all the physical tools to play in the NHL. It's just about getting, as Joe Will likes to say, more miles on the odometer. Other guys to look out for from a prospect standpoint. Zach Ostapchuk came over from Ottawa's organization last year. A very intriguing player with the size and the tenacity elements to his game. John McCarthy saying, leading into the season when media asked about him, what can Zach do to kind of push for NHL opportunities? And one thing that J-Mac said was he's still a young player, but they want to continue to refine a little bit of his offensive game as well. They will put him in big situations, D-zone draws, penalty kill, maybe even a little net front on the power play. Matthias Havlid, second-round draft pick from 2022, 45th overall. It took him a while to get over to North America, but he signs his entry-level deal this summer. He's been really impressive. Not a very big guy, but fluid. You can tell he's got some hockey smarts to his game as well. We'll see where Matthias Havlid can take his game in his first year in North America. And the newcomers. We mentioned him. Jakub Skarik, goaltender, signed 1 year, two-way deal with the Sharks this summer. 2 games last year with the New York Islanders, predominantly spent in the AHL with a Bridgeport Islander team that was dead last in the league. So you look at the numbers, a 3.52 goals against, 8.84 save percentage, doesn't really tell the story for Skarik. It'll be intriguing what he can do this year. Jimmy Huntington, 4 games last year before he tore his ACL, but before that he was on a Hershey team that won a Calder Cup. He was very, very good in the postseason, 14 points during the postseason in 20 games. So Huntington healthy, ready to go with the Barracuda. Sam LaBerge, tough as nails, kind of takes on that role that Scott Sabourin has held the last couple of years as a tough guy who can protect his teammates, but also chip in a little bit of offense from time to time. Another guy really intriguing, Oliver Wahlstrom, 11th overall pick by the Islanders several years ago. He has played predominantly in the NHL during his career, trying to restart things in the AHL, signing an AHL deal with the Barracuda. Barracuda and Sharks open-minded to give these kind of, I would say, reclamation projects a platform to try to rediscover his game and try to get back to the NHL. Wahlstrom, tons of skill. There's a reason why he's drafted 11th overall, but he is under contract with the Barracuda. Another guy to look out for, Cole Clayton, deep partner of Luca Cagnoni in camp. Pretty good size, 6'2", over 200 pounds. He's not played in the NHL, but the Sharks view him as an ascending player with some toughness, some defensive prowess. We'll see if he can be a big impact player for the Barracuda. Other guys to keep an eye out for, Shane Bowers, you mentioned, came over in that trade from New Jersey. Former first-rounder Oscar Olauson came over in the deal from the Colorado Avalanche, another first-round draft pick, and some guys joining the team. Goaltender Matt Davis, defenseman Jack Barr, and defenseman Noah Beck, just a couple of additional names that will be new to Barracuda fans. There's no better authority on the Barracuda than their general manager, Joe Will, and we had a chance to catch up with Joe earlier this week and pick his brain about all the new additions, some of the departures, some of the prospects coming in, some of the veteran players coming in as well, and his overall thought and feeling about this Barracuda team going into another year. So without further ado, here is my conversation with GM Joe Will.
All right, Joe, I was thinking about it. It's year number 11 for the Barracuda. That means you can go all the way back. Kansas City, Kentucky, Cleveland, Worcester. No AHL franchise or top affiliate, for that matter, in Sharks history has lasted now 11 years. I think this team's going to be here for a while with this beautiful facility. But going into another year, what kind of are your feelings? What's the thought process about this specific team going into another season with a lot of changes, a lot of new faces in the fold?
It's really a time that we've used training camp to take a look at, just a lot of young talent and a lot of new players in the organization just to see where they fit. I think there's great depth. I think there's great promise. But it's, still even to today, things are still unfolding.
Well, in hockey in particular, you see it a little bit in baseball, too. These guys are drafted so young that you don't see them for a long time. You either send them back to their junior team or their college team. It takes a while for them to mature. And then their next step maybe is the AHL before the NHL. But you're starting to see some of the fruits of your labor with these young players. This is a really good young crop. We're seeing guys like Quentin Musty and Igor Chernyshov and Casper Halton and so on and so forth, the players that are joining your team. How excited are you guys about this crop of prospects that should be playing predominantly in the AHL this year?
Well, we're very excited. And as you said, there's really a lag time, especially with an 18-year-old draft. You just sit and wait. Players go back to junior, go back to college, quite a few of them. And now they're a little bit more aged and seasoned, and they come in here and ready to go in the American League. And we're very excited about seeing a lot of them for the first time, on an extended basis. And I think a lot of guys, it's not just about where they're at today, but I think there's going to be some very quick maturing throughout the year. So some players that you might see today, in October, might be totally different in January with that, 2-3 months of experience here.
Well, last year, some of the guys that drove the bus are no longer with the organization. Andrew Podorowski, incredible year, an all-star, obviously, AHL MVP. Your captain, Jimmy Schultz, no longer with the organization. He signed a 2-year deal with Vancouver. That's the nature of the beast in this league. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of turnover. Veteran players don't usually stick in one location for a long period of time. How do you see things playing out? Because you have brought in other faces, we'll dive into that a little bit. How do you see things playing out in terms of this crop and this particular group of players?
Well, I think it, it's going to be a process throughout the whole year. I think the team that you see today is not going to be the team that we're going to have at the end of the year, especially with the young talent, especially with new players. There's going to be some acclimation kind of going through. There'll be some ups and downs and everything else within there. But I think it's a pretty deep team. I think there's really good competition because I think a lot of these players know that they're really not that far away from the Sharks. A lot of guys had good training camps, and so I think there's a lot of internal competition, but you'll see an evolving team throughout the year.
That's a great point. I want to dive into that as well. Training camp was highly competitive. That seemed to be one of the real points that the coaching staff and the organization wanted to make. We want a competitive training camp, but we want a physical training camp, a grueling training camp, and a lot of guys kind of rose their level of play. One player that comes to mind is Pavel Regenda. What a camp he put together with the big club. I think he opened a lot of eyes. Ryan Warsofsky at one point said, I wasn't really familiar with this guy, and he was one of, if not the best players in camp. So is that really exciting to see guys kind of elevate their game and rise to that competitive kind of level that you're looking for?
Well, absolutely. And the cool thing about that with Reggie is it started in the playoffs last year. We talked about how important the playoffs are for kind of stepping up a level and elevating your game. And Reggie in the playoffs last year was really good. Reggie and Giles, especially stood out being bigger guys and playing them. Regenda went on to play, for Slovakia in the World Championships, played very well, brought that momentum into training camp, didn't skip a beat. And he, is good all throughout camp.
It does seem like you guys have made a concerted effort, whether it's via the draft or even free agency. Patrick Giles is a great example. He came in really fit a nice role with your AHL club, played well up in the NHL as well. But is that important for the organization to have a lot of a meat on the bone, if you will, have bigger players that can handle the rigors of a playoff time or even these long points in the season when things are getting drawn out, having big bodies, is that important?
Oh, absolutely important, because then it allows you really to play against any opponent, you know, and that's what you have to be ready to play against anybody. And as you can see, the Floridas and some of the world or some of the teams around that are really hard and heavy, you have to be ready for them. And, you know, Giles and Regenda have that bigger body, and that helps. And you'll see some of the other guys that came in with Clayton and Huntington and LeBerge, they're also bigger players coming in. You know, and it helps around some of our young talent and everything else too. But it never really hurts. There are, you know, a lot of players too that can play, you know, particular roles as they kind of move up and down the lineup.
Clayton has not played in the NHL. He's a redshot D, 6'2". He's got good size. In camp, he's been playing with Luca Cagnoni. That could certainly be a pair in the American Hockey League this year. But we talked a little bit about this the other day, but he is a player that you guys see as kind of ascending in his career as a player who could eventually, although he hasn't done it yet, push for NHL opportunities if everything kind of works out for him.
Absolutely. He's quite young right now still, and but he's big and he plays kind of a mature game. So you kind of look at him and you think he's a little bit older than he actually is. So to me, I look at Cole as a prospect, and you know, he came into this organization and you know, he's a right shot, which is an advantage. He's physical and strong and everything else. He's kind of has a mature game and a very welcome addition to us.
Let's talk about some of the prospects that are officially joining the fold this year. Quentin Musty last year, kind of an interesting season, dealt with an injury, requested a trade from his junior team. This year, he had a good rookie camp last season. This year, another good one, but he carried it into main camp as well and really seemed to open some eyes. What do you guys like about what Quentin was able to accomplish in his first NHL training camp? That was a camp in which he was competing for a professional job.
Well, I think the fact that he just listened to everything and you know, took it to heart, practiced it, and kind of made a step. You know, these guys get a lot thrown at them. Get drafted at 18 years old. We have a great development team led by Todd Marchant. We have Tommy Wingles and Lucas Bizu who go around to these guys and watch them in juniors and college and tell them, you know, you need to work on this and, you know, to get to the next level. And they took it to heart. Like, they worked very hard with Quentin to talk about things that he needed to get ready for pro. And, you know, and he worked very hard this summer, came in, and you could see the evolution.
What are those things that you guys wanted him to really focus on, make an emphasis certain parts of his game? What were those?
I think a lot of it goes to little things you have to do to let the pro coaches trust you. I mean, you're out against great players in both the American League and the NHL, and you have to, you know, be solid. You have to be able to defend them. You have to be ready for them, and it's things like that. So that and consistency. So just the little nuances of the game and consistency. Talent. He's got talent all day long, so you just have to add the other things to it.
Well, speaking of talent, another guy who Sharks fans are excited about is Igor Chernyshov. You can't teach size. He's got it. He's just 19 years of age, but he looks physically like he could handle the NHL. What do you want to see from him as he embarks on his professional career in North America in the AHL?
I think with him, it's just more, honestly, miles on the odometer, because he, you know, he got hurt right after he got drafted last year, wasn't really able to participate in training camp, wasn't able really to come back and play in juniors until January. So he got a partial season, got a little bit of playoffs in the American League. So he just doesn't have that much hockey. You know, he just, for him, it's really the experience of just playing every night, getting used to it. I think he's going to be a quick study, and, you know, he's a big, strong guy. So I think, you know, that'll help him along the way. So, you know, he'll have some assets that work great in the American League.
Well, how cool was it for the organization to maybe see a glimpse into the future, because he was a line mate with Michael Misa last year in Saginaw?
Yeah, they were electric last year. I remember when he first came back and Misa was all excited, because there were some games where they're each like 3-4 points and they both went on a tear in the league. The team went on a tear. You know, they're both high-end players, and that's you know, we're starting, as you said, starting to see the some of the young talent come in, and excited about having both of those guys.
Well, there's so many names to go down the list from a prospect standpoint. Another big winger, Casper Holtonen, won a Memorial Cup last year. He finished the job. Him and Sam Dickinson, they made it to the final, but Braden Hache and the Spirit got him the year before. They did the job this year. They finished the job. He completes his junior career on top. A lot of tools there as well. He can obviously rip the puck. We saw that in the American League in his short stint last year. He's going to start in the AHL this year. What do you guys want to see from him as he evolves at this level as well?
Well, I think like a lot of the other young talent, the talent's actually there, and he just needs to probably catch up with the speed of the game a little bit and the little plays that you need to make, again, for the coaches to say, well, I'm not stuck putting him out here, but I can put him out in all kinds of different situations. So it's just really the experience. It's, you know, going through every that's why practices are so important in this league, that, you know, they could just keep working on little things, add that to their game. And now it's not just on power plays. It's not just on, you know, kind of offensively favorable situations, but you can play them at all times.
Well, there's been a familiar face on the ice during training camp for the Barracuda. He has a beard. He's pretty tall, pretty well-known among Sharks fans. Joe Thornton now officially part of the organization. To have him on the ice working with these guys on a daily basis, I mean, how incredible is that for these players?
Oh, it's huge. You know, we're so fortunate to have our alumni around town and really, you know, participating in everything between Joe and we have Reach and Nabby out there all the time too. And so besides the coaches, they just have guys with the experience, the NHL experience and life experience that they can go to sometimes just informally and get a tip or two about, you know, little things they can make. And you know, all the young talent, they gravitate to Jumbo to talk about things that only, you know, high-end talented guys know.
Well, we're recording this interview before the Sharks have officially set their opening night roster. So reinforcements are expected to continue to trickle down to the American Hockey League. So I want to touch on a couple of more guys who are currently with the Cuda. Matthias Haviland, second-round draft pick. You talk about these prospects, because there's so many, some almost feel forgotten about. And he was over in Europe. It took a while for him to sign. He's over here now. We've seen some glimpses in the rookie tournament in preseason AHL and NHL action. He can really scoot, see some of the skills that I think the organization thought was intriguing. What do you want to see from him as he finally makes his way across the pond to San Jose?
Well, I think the thing with Matthias that we really like is he's got a pretty balanced game. You know, he played in the top league over in Sweden, played in the World Junior Championships, and he's not just a one-trick pony with offense. You know, he's defensively sound. He, you know, he really understands the complete role of playing defense. So I think with him, again, it's the experience, playing against bigger, stronger players, playing at a quicker pace, everything else. But I think he'll be a very nice addition to us, and he'll give us a little bit of offense from the right side.
And how about Cam Lund, another player we saw last year at the end of his junior season of college joining the Sharks, and I thought acquitted himself quite well. He's big, he can skate, another second-round pick. Tell us about this player.
I think with Cam, it's his speed. Yeah, you notice right away he can get anywhere on the ice. He can catch up to people and everything else. So Cam's a great skater. He's very strong. And he cares really about you know, playing in all kinds of different situations, and he has talent. Again, it's you know, it's a big jump from Northeastern kind of coming in. He got a little taste at the NHL at the end of last year, but it's just working on the little subtleties and things like that of his game. But you know, it shouldn't really take him all that long to start making improvements in different areas of his pro game.
Well, that's a list of prospects, and there are more and more and more to expected to join this team. But let's dive into some of the veteran players joining your group this year who are expected to play predominantly in the AHL. We can start with Jimmy Huntington. Just two games last year, he tore his ACL out for the remainder of the year, but he was playing his best hockey the year before, part of a Hershey team that went to the Calder Cup and won a championship, and he was dynamic during the postseason. There's a little bit of a connection. You guys try to recruit him at a junior as well. He ultimately didn't sign with the organization, but you signed him now. But what are you getting in this player in Jimmy Huntington?
I think a player who's persevered. He's always had the talent, but I think when Jimmy came in, it's been a little bit of a slow go because he wasn't able just to rely on his offense. And so he had to learn other parts of the game, and he does. He's really an inside player. He cares about defense and, you know, playing on a, he has some natural leadership kind of by example of how he plays. And, you know, being around Hershey, being around a really good Calder Cup winning team, you know, that really pays off.
And how about Sam LaBerge? A couple of games in the NHL 2 years ago with New Jersey. He's tough. He's big. Another guy who has had to kind of work for everything he's gotten in his pro career.
He's a lot like Vinny, a lot like Van Robois, and, you know, just wear their heart on the sleeve. You know, he is a relentless, you know, forechecker, just aggressive player who keeps everybody else honest on the ice. He's tough. And, you know, just to have that, those type of players you kind of want to have on your side, you get into grittier games and everything like that. So, you know, we always noticed him, our scouts noticed him a lot in games where he was making a difference by his energy, by his the grit and everything else.
A lot of top prospects joining the fold. A former top prospect also joining your AHL group in Oliver Wahlstrom, 11th overall pick by New York several years ago. He's got a ton of skill. He's played predominantly in the NHL. You sign him late in the summer and in the offseason to an AHL contract. What made Oliver a player that you thought would be a nice piece in addition to your group?
Well, I think just the opportunity here that, you know, he can play in the American League and earn his way back to the NHL, which he should do. I mean, he's so skilled and talented and everything else. And he has quite a few NHL games under his belt. So it's just kind of working his way back, you know, and we could be the beneficiary of that. He's incredibly talented. He's got a NHL type shot. And, you know, we saw in Adam Gaudette a similar path. Played in the NHL for a while and then didn't get a contract, backed up, played in the American League for a few years and tore up the American League, and he's back in the NHL. And, you know, there's no reason why Wahlstrom in a perfect situation could do the same. Come to the American League, find your game a little bit, and go back.
Is that something that the organization finds at the very least impressive? Is a player who, like a Gaudette, had to go back to the NHL and really grind his way back to the NHL, not give up on the dream, not go over to Europe per se, stick it out, try to get to the NHL, and then last year you see him get rewarded. Is that something that, as an organization, you guys, you respect? Because that takes a lot for a player to do.
It sure does, the perseverance, and it sets an example for the young players. You know, nothing is easy, nothing is given. And we have to set that, especially with young talent. You know, they have to come in. Everything's been easy in juniors and college, and they come into here, it's a little tougher. Now they see these other guys that, wow, you know, Oliver Wahlstrom was 11th overall, but you know what? It can get tough for him too, and he has to climb back on here. So it sets really a great example.
And just a couple more for you. Other additions joining this group, former first-round picks in Shane Bowers and Oscar Olhausen. Bowers coming from New Jersey's organization in the Thomas Bortolo trade. Olhausen coming from Colorado in the Daniil Gushchin trade. Fresh starts for these players who do have talent. There's a reason why they were drafted where they were, and now they get an opportunity in San Jose to get fresh eyeballs on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two deals, you know, including Bortolo and Gushchin, were just kind of fresh start trades for both players. You know, that it's just, it kind of got a little dry in our organization for those guys, and same with the guys coming in. So able to, you know, come in, fresh environment, fresh opportunity, everything else, you know, kind of high picks, higher profile players, and sideways deals. So we're excited to have both of them. A little bit different element. I mean, Olsen's highly talented. You'll see that right away. His shootout winner last night got a great shot and everything else. A first-round type player, so it's just a new time for him. And then Bowers, he has a lot of different parts of his game, you know. So he's a guy that could probably go up and down your lineup a little bit more. So it's just exciting to give some other guys opportunities.
And how do you see the goalie position playing out? You brought in Skarik, who was in New York's organization with the Islanders. Of course, Gabe Carrier is back and I think opened some eyes last year. And you brought in Matt Davis, who is a two-time national champion at Denver. How do you see that kind of trio of goalies shaking out this year?
What I like is there's great internal competition. I mean, there is really at all of our positions, but at the goaltending position with the three players. And somebody's probably going to have to go to Wichita and play for a while, that's part of the plan because, you know, you can only get so many starts. You can only play one goalie here. And so we need guys to be able to play a little bit more. You saw last year Gabe Carrier went to Wichita and was able to play quite a few games, and he was ECHL goalie of the month and everything else. Then that really prepared him in the second half of the season for the American League. And so somebody's going to end up there. But right now is, I think they all had a really, you know, above average camp. Happy with all those, much like Nedeljkovic and Askarov up top. You know, I feel our goaltending solid all the way through.
I know the Sharks have a plan and a goal this year of Being a team that plays with a pressure, in a sense, always pressuring the puck, being constant in terms of their relentlessness, is that kind of the hope, too, that the Barracuda take on that same identity where when teams come into TechCU or even on the road, they know they're in for a fight, a team that's going to be on top of them all night long?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, that's something that anytime you play like that, too, is you can really win at all levels. It's something that Ryan Warsawski and Mike Greer put in place, for the organization. It starts with the NHL, but we try and do the same in the American League, maybe switch a few things around just because of the subtleties of the two leagues, but not very much. You know, we try and stick with similar identities, similar systems, everything else with both clubs. And ours is based on just being kind of a aggressive, honest hockey, and something that will work with talent that we have bringing in and just matching everything, the future of the organization.
Well, Joe, this was great. Great insight on the upcoming season. It should be a ton of fun. We're expecting some great crowds, an awesome promotional schedule. We can tip our cap to James Collins and his entire crew as well, our VP. But Joe, thank you for the insight. Looking forward to the upcoming year. And we appreciate the time.
Can't wait. Glad to be back.
All right, a big thank you to Joe Will. A reminder, we are on the air starting at 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, October 11th for the season opener. You can listen to our pregame show at sjbarracuda.com/listen. Of course, you can watch on HLTV on Flow Hockey or also listen within the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. That does it for our 2025-26 Barracuda season preview. A big thank you to Joe Will for joining us. Until next time, I'm Nick Nolenberger saying so long.
You've been listening to San Jose Barracuda Hockey. San Jose Barracuda Hockey is brought to you by Kaiser Permanente, by TechCU, by Bloom Energy, by DEVCON, and by Royal Coach.
Termites, rodents, and other pests never rest. Luckily, neither does Planet Orange. Think you may have a pest problem? Call 1-800-7-ORANGE for a free termite inspection or general pest consultation from our licensed professionals. Planet Orange is an innovator in effective, eco-friendly pest control methods. They'll customize each program for your needs using the most eco-friendly solution available. So don't wait. Call 1-800-7-ORANGE. That's 1-800-767-2643. Or go to planetorange.com and get started today.
Planet Orange. Orange, you glad you called?
The doctor will see you now.
But do they really? Do they see you as a mother who's a daughter and a caregiver? Fearless but sometimes fearful? A health nut with a French fry habit? An O-positive geologist named Patty who's here today for a melanoma exam? At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the only way to care for all of you is by seeing all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org. A podiatrist will tell you about your feet. An orthopedist will tell you about your bones. A physical therapist will analyze your gait. A psychologist will help you manage your anxiety. But what if they're all connected? What if your walk affects your hip alignment and the loss of movement affects your mental health? At Kaiser Permanente, we know the body is connected in unseen ways. That's why our doctors work together to care for all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.
The Hilton San Jose is the official hotel partner of the San Jose Sharks and SAP Center. Just a short walk from the excitement, enjoy fresh California cuisine and handcrafted cocktails at Secco Restaurant and Bar, indoors or on the inviting patio. Then unwind with upgraded amenities in the serene comfort of a luxurious Waldorf Astoria bed. The perfect way to complete a great experience. Reserve your stay today at HiltonSanJose.com or call 408-287-2100. Hilton for the stay. Sharks fans, Fieldwork is thrilled to be the official non-alcoholic craft beer and proud partner of your San Jose Sharks. Whether you're at the tank or watching from home, Fieldwork is brewed to be a part of the moment with uncompromising non-alcoholic beers and legendary IPAs to classic lagers and everything in between. Fieldwork has something for every taste and every occasion. Make every occasion special. Drink Fieldwork.
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get San Jose Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster. As the official ticket marketplace of the San Jose Sharks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live. If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
The doctor will see you now.
But do they really? Do they see you as a mother who's a daughter and a caregiver? Fearless but sometimes fearful? A health nut with a French fry habit? An O-positive geologist named Patty, who's here today for a melanoma exam? At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the only way to care for all of you is by seeing all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.
The doctor will see you now.
But do they really? Do they see you as a mother who's a daughter and a caregiver? Fearless but sometimes fearful? A health nut with a French fry habit? An O-positive geologist named Patty, who's here today for a melanoma exam? At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the only way to care for all of you is by seeing all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.